It's 10:32 on a Saturday morning. You're listening to Talk 107, the only all-talk radio station outside London. Now, we're talking New Year resolutions today because, well, that's what you do at this time of the year. I want to hear from you how your resolutions are going, what they've been this year, and day six, are you sticking with them? 08454 107 107, text 8181, start your message with Talk, or you can email studio at talk107.co.uk. We're doing a resolution every 15 minutes this morning. Now, we've done love. That's the pen through that one. The other big one for many people at this time of the year, of course, is stopping smoking. Now, I'm a former smoker and I've gone through the whole thing and it worked for me, the kind of Nicorette and all that sort of stuff. But for some people, it's just a mountain too high to climb. Maybe they try every year at this time, they try on National No Smoking Day, but they just can't conquer it. Well, Neil Robinson from Edinburgh Hypnotherapy believes that he can help you do it. Neil joins me live in the Talk 107 studio this morning. Neil, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us. This is, for many people, the big resolution because it's not just about, you know, a little lifestyle improvement. It's about a huge health choice that can prolong their life. It can make a better life for their families as well. So this is a really, really important one. How can hypnotherapy help them do it?
Well, this is one of the difficulties which you just said. It's one of the big things. It's one of the huge things. And people build up, build up, build up to the end of the year. And they say, right, from day one, it's going to be different. And then they wake up the next morning and discover, actually, it's not that much different. Life still carries on. Life goes on just the same sort of way. And they think everything's going to be different. And so it's a matter of taking a different attitude towards life, that life starts now.
Are you a former smoker? I mean, have you been through this? You know what it's like. You know how hard it is for people.
Yes, and it's a matter of deciding what is going to be in charge of your life. Is the smoking going to be in charge of your life? Is that going to be in control of your life? Or are you going to be in control of your life?
So it's a physical craving because of the nicotine. Yeah. How can hypnotherapy help that? How can the mind help conquer that physical addiction that we have to nicotine?
It's about deciding. It's about deciding what actually goes on in your mind. Yes, there is that physical side of it, or the addiction side of it, which is very, very difficult. But in the end, it comes down to what actually is going on in your mind. Can you decide, have you got the strength of mind to get in control of your life, to get over that addiction, to get over that craving? Who's in control, basically?
And you say you can do this in 2 hours with people. You can change their lives and their attitude to smoking in just 2 hours.
Yes, it's also about changing their attitude towards themselves and towards the whole of their life. Because we weren't born smokers. People didn't come into the world as smokers. It's something that they've taken up. It's something that they've learned to do. And so often, if we look back through our lives, the majority of people actually start smoking because of peer pressure. When they're with their pals, their mates, when they're 12, 13, 14, 15, they are persuaded to have a fag because their pals are. They don't like it, they don't want it. For a lot of people, when they have their first fag, they end up feeling very ill, very sick, probably throw up, and it's a really, really bad experience. But because they want to be part of the crowd, they want to belong, they want to be accepted, to look cool or whatever, then that's what happens, and so it then becomes part of the addiction. So it's about changing the person's attitude and view of themselves and who they really, really are underneath.
Do you find that people, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, they come to you as a last resort because they've tried the easy ways, if you like. They've tried the Nicorette and the gum and, you know, all the they've read Alan Carr's books and all that kind of thing, but it ain't worked for them and they are desperate. They need help. They need someone to take ownership of the problem with them, and that's where you come in.
That's right. One of the difficult things is that people have seen hypnotherapy programs on telly, and, you know, they've seen these hypnosis shows and things like that, where it looks as though the hypnotist has said, you will be a non-smoker, end off, click, and it's going to happen. So that actually, at that point, they don't have to take responsibility for it themselves, that they are going to get fixed, rather than bearing responsibility within themselves, that there's some sort of magic about hypnosis that is going to do it for them. In that situation, it still isn't going to work. The person has got to be motivated. It is another tool along the way. For many people, because they've seen a pub show where a bloke is told, this is an apple and it's wonderful, but actually everybody can see it's an onion, and that the person is convinced it's an apple, they think that this power of control that a hypnotherapist has over the mind is going to change things. It's not. If the person underneath is not motivated to do it, then it's going to be very, very difficult. And this is why sometimes when people go to see a hypnotist or a hypnotherapist to stop smoking, it doesn't work for them because their motivation underneath is not right.
So what does hypnosis actually do? Talk us through what you offer people.
The big misunderstanding with hypnosis and hypnotherapy is that it is some sort of altered mind state, some sort of mind control or whatever. It's a perfectly normal, natural place that people go to every day. People experience it all the time. Car drivers experience it the best, if you like. You get in your car, you drive on a journey, you arrive at the other end. What happened in the middle? Most people can't remember because part of their mind has been absolutely in control, the other part of mind is away somewhere else. And this is very, very similar to the experience of hypnosis and hypnotherapy. What happens in that situation is that the analytical, critical mind that questions everything all the time is much more switched off, and the mind becomes much more childlike. Now, most people know that children accept things in a straightforward, they take words literally. For those people who have seen The Vicar of Dibley, for instance, Dippy Alice at the end of the show never ever gets the joke because she takes words literally. Children take words literally. In the place of hypnosis, people's minds are in the place of taking words literally. So when someone comes into my office and I say, you're going out of here a non-smoker in a couple of hours' time, oh yeah, right, yeah, well, I've been smoking for 50 years, how are you going to do that? Because it's the critical analytical mind that we have that protects us all the time. The childlike place later on in the session when they're in hypnosis and I say, right, you're going out if you're a non-smoker, all right, okay, then fine. It's accepted. It then becomes a part of that person's being at a much, much deeper level.
And when they leave you, do they think of themselves as someone who smoked, but just they hate the taste now, or they can't understand why they did it? What has altered in their mind that stops them walking straight to R.S. McCall and saying, 20 Benson and Hedges, please?
They can still do that if they want to, because there is free will. There's no magic about this, if that is what they decide to do. And people have a misunderstanding about this, that they're going to get fixed in some sort of magic way. After the hypnotherapy session, they've changed from being a smoker or being someone who has stopped smoking into being a non-smoker. And it's the way that we think about it. It's very, very important to think. Most people say, I have stopped smoking, I am going to stop smoking, rather than, I am a non-smoker. Now, I am a non-smoker is a very positive way of looking at it. To say, I have stopped smoking, actually focuses on the smoking, because the brain doesn't work with negatives. If I say to you, don't think of an elephant, what's the first thing you think of?
A huge elephant.
A huge elephant, right? If I say to you, right, think of a kangaroo. Are you now thinking of that one?
No.
No, you're not. You see, the brain doesn't process the don't. So if you say, I don't smoke, you're actually concentrating on the smoking.
Am I hypnotized here? I'm feeling in a dreamlike state.
You're looking.
Maybe I need another coffee.
Eyes. Look into my eyes.
Don't say that. You said that. I don't like that.
Look into my. It's what goes on in a person's mind. We don't deal with negatives very well, and for most people, they say, I don't smoke, or I have given up, or right, to say I am a non-smoker from this moment onwards, I am a non-smoker, means that you're actually taking control of your life, which is what people want. They want to be in control of their lives instead of the fags, the stress, whatever else is in control of their lives.
What's your success rate?
Haven't a clue. All I can say is that with the work that I do, the people come for long for the first session. There is always a free session offered within the next couple of weeks if they're really, really struggling, which some people do. Very rarely do I get people come back for the second session. That's all I can say. Now, it may be that they start smoking again and too embarrassed to say so. All I'm aware is that a lot of people don't come back for the free second session. One of the success rates that we have is that because my business partner and I actually do couples together, for a lot of people, they really struggle on their own because they stop, their partner doesn't stop. And so there's this sort of competition that goes on. What we actually do is to do two people together, so that they come together, then they leave as non-smokers together, they then support each other, because people always need support after these things, because it's a change of lifestyle, it's a change of being, it's a change of all sorts of habits. A lot of people get into habits. I know someone who didn't smoke at work all day, didn't smoke on the bus coming home, came home, put the kettle on, went to the loo, came back, sat down, had a cup of tea, watched a telly, had a fag. That was her daily routine for her first fag of the day. She had to change that, and it's about replacing those habits. To do something different.
All right, Neil, I want you to stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, but I'm sure we've got questions that people would like to ask about this, and they can do that. 08454-107-107, text 8181, start your message with Talk, or you can email studio at talk107.co.uk. For any questions you've got to Neil Robinson from Edinburgh Hypnotherapy about stopping smoking, your big New Year resolution, stopping smoking with the help of hypnotherapy. Give us a call, 08454-107. In the studio with me today is Neil Robinson from Edinburgh Hypnotherapy. We're talking in this section of the programme, we're working our way through all the resolutions that we all do, and this is about smoking at the moment, and lots of texts and emails coming in about this. So let's kick off, Neil, with this one, which came from Karen in Burnt Island, who says, I've been to see stage hypnotists, and that would really put me off something like this. How can you reassure me? What can you reassure me and say to reassure me?
One of the difficulties with the stage hypnotist, it looks as though the hypnotist is the person who is in control and that people are running around doing their bidding. The place of hypnotherapy, the place of hypnosis, is a place that you have been to many, many times. People go to it every day, they just wouldn't call it that. It's that daydreamy place between being awake and being asleep. When you're in that office meeting that's dead, dead boring, and you're just sort of wandering and starting to drift off, but you just manage to come back again, you get that little jerk back into reality, what's happening in the brainwaves pattern there is that it's the same as being in hypnosis. People experience it every day. I've already explained about car drivers. Everyone will have had that experience where they get in the car, they arrive at the other end, what happened in the middle, they don't really know, they don't remember. It's very, very similar to hypnosis and hypnotherapy. It's a perfectly normal, natural place that people go to every day. Unfortunately, the pub and club shows are designed to a particular end. They're very short-lived. The people who are at that show are there to be entertained. And so they are part of that and help and create and make it happen. The hypnotherapy session is very, very different. It's a place where you are in absolute control. You can stop it whenever you want to. You don't go to sleep. You don't lose consciousness. You're in absolute control all the way through it. The hypnotherapist is not in control of the session. The client is.
Okay.
They can start it, stop it, whenever they want.
Good reassurance there. Another text from Fife, from Anne in Fife, asking, what age are the patients that come to you, Neil? I'm now 60 and I've been smoking for 40 years. Am I too old to receive therapy? Would it work for Anne?
Yes, of course it would. The age doesn't make any difference, because what we're looking at is about getting in control of your life. And as I've already said, everybody started somewhere. There are two ways of doing this. One, which I call the sticking plaster technique, which is what some hypnotherapists do, which is suggestion therapy. The suggestion being that you're never ever going to have a fag again, and if you ever light up again, you're going to feel violently sick and it's going to be horrible. And that will last for a period of time. In the work that I do, it's what's called analytical hypnotherapy, which goes back to finding out what's the basic underlying patterns and what's behind it, what's the motivation, where it started, why you keep doing it, what it does to your image, how you actually feel about it. So it's getting that much at a much, much deeper
level. So what is your background psychology before you got into this?
My background is counselling. I do have a degree in counselling, which I've been doing for somewhere about 25, 30 years. And I've been a hypnotist now for about 15 years. So I've been doing it for a while.
Let me ask you just about the physicality of this. John in Bathgate's texted as well to say, I was wondering, how exactly does a hypnotherapy session work? Does it involve a wheel of spinning colours, or is there a keyword that sets you off? These are the preconceptions that people have. From watching a lot of stuff on TV, physically, how do you do it?
All I do is to talk you through a relaxation. All you have to do is to decide to go with it. That's all.
You have a very relaxing voice. We may sign you up for the mumbling around midnight spot on Talk 107 before you leave, because you have a very soothing, soothing voice.
Right.
Which I'm enjoying listening to this morning. Hope the listeners are too. That helps,
yes,
presumably.
Yes, it's about getting into that relaxed place. Once you're in that relaxed place, that dreamy, drifty, relaxed place, you're still absolutely in control. But in that dreamy, drifty place, I've already explained that the mind becomes much more childlike and will accept things. Just as I did, well, I would tell you a little story. When I was a kid, I came into some extra pocket money, and what my mum said to me was, because I wanted to go and get some sweeties, she said, oh, no, save it for a rainy day. So I did that. It took 2 weeks before it rained, because I took the words literally. On the day that it rained, on the Saturday, I went to her and said, I knew it was odd because we never went to the shops in the rain. And I said to her, can we go get my sweeties now? She said, no, it's raining, we'll get wet. I said, well, I bet you said. She laughed, thought it was hilarious. I was just confused. It's a sort of one-liner that gets in the Sunday papers now of what kids say. Because young children take words literally. In this dreamy, drifty place, we take words literally. And that is how it works, because it gets into the inside and then works from outside. So for those people who want to become non-smokers, start to think that. I am a non-smoker. Not, I have stopped smoking. Very, very different thing altogether.
Okay, two final thoughts on this. No name on this text. I've been a smoker since 14, I'm now 20. The best way to stop smoking is to have a pen in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. It's worked for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, except there are probably sometimes when it is, I'm thinking of one thing particular, it's slightly difficult to have a pen in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. You've got to put them down at some point, haven't you? So.
Well, it's about not, it's about thinking about something else. Most people try and stop thinking about smoking. And as soon as you try and stop thinking, I've already explained, we don't think about the negatives. Think about something else. I was not wanting to think about something the other day when I was driving on the road, and I started to make up little phrases from the car numbers in front of me. Now, that occupied my mind, and it stopped me thinking about the other thing. We have to keep our mind occupied to not thinking about something, but to deliberately replace our thoughts. If we try and change our thoughts, it's very, very difficult because we're concentrating on the thought. Replace the thought with something else. The pen and the cup of coffee, yes, it's doing something else.
You've convinced me on this. If I was still a smoker, I'd be coming to you Monday morning 9 a.m. for this, because it seems to make a lot of sense. What else can you help with in terms of hypnotherapy? What are other problems, life problems that people maybe have at this time of the year that you can help with?
Holidays, flying. For instance, I've got somebody in Canada on their honeymoon at the moment who's absolutely terrified of flying. When she came to see me 6 weeks ago, I had an email from her the other day in Canada. She's on a honeymoon. She's having a brilliant time.
Fantastic.
It's such a buzz to help people in that way. So flying, phobias, weight control, self-image. I had somebody this year who, rubbish interviews, had 8 interviews this year for jobs, and every interview got worse and worse and worse and worse. She came to see me, we talked about self-confidence, we did hypnosis in terms of self-confidence and her belief in herself. She went for the next interview, got the job, was told that she was the best candidate there.
Well, no, you're doing a great job out there. If people are looking for more information, having heard you this morning, they can get it on your website, which is edinburghhypnotherapy.com.
Yes.
Or alternatively,
Edinburgh Stop Smoking, with hyphens in the middle.
EdinburghHypnotherapy.com, that was.
EdinburghHypnotherapy.com, you'll find a link to it.
Listen,
yes.
I really appreciate your time this morning. That's been great. One final request from me. Can you, just before you go, convince Mark McKenzie, our sports presenter this afternoon, that he is Vladimir Romanov? Just for one afternoon. Could you do that?
No, I couldn't.
Well, that's disappointing. Frankly, I'm disappointed, but everything else has been good. Yeah, thank you very much indeed for your time.